Welcome back to Beyond the Paddock. I'm your host, Sarah, and today we will be looking at the Japanese Grand Prix. So our pole sitter was Max Verstappen, who also took podium at the Japanese Grand Prix, Norris second, Piastri third. And leading the constructors is McLaren, followed by Mercedes, Red Bull, Ferrari, and Williams. Congratulations, Williams, top five. Norris is still leading the World Drivers' Championship, up 1 point for Verstappen. And then further down in third, we have Piastri, then Russell, then Antonelli. Okay, so right off the bat, the Japanese Grand Prix is a track that had the figure eight configuration. So this had drivers going, it's the only track with the figure eight configuration. So drivers were going both clockwise and counterclockwise, which resulted in more wear on their tires. And we saw a really slow hairpin in turn 11. Up front in the track was the S's section. And then the back half had lots of fast turns. There was a downhill into the singular straight of the singular DRS zone. So it had a total of 18 turns. Last year was a two-stopper. This year was expected to be a one-stopper. And there were some changes to the track from last season to this season. So a third of the track was resurfaced, and five of the corners had their runoffs changed from artificial grass to the gravel traps. And it was a bit softer than last year. So the big component about the race this year was tire management. It was key to this track because of there was a lot of heavy braking zones and high speed turns. Okay, so for practice one, we saw Norris come out on top. Doohan was out of FP1, and the reserve driver for Alpine, Hirakawa, was in his home race. We saw a super funny moment in FP1 where Carlos was told to box and he flew past the Williams mechanics and then said on the radio later that he forgot that they were at the start of the pit lane and not the end, so he had to go through again. We saw Norris into the gravel. The underside of his car had to be looked at, kind of went up over the curb and lost a bit of control of the car, but did have enough momentum to keep the car going. And went back out for a flying lap to take first. Albon also hit the gravel, locked up in the hairpin. He was also able to get out. Antonelli locked up and onto the grass. And we did see complaints coming in. We heard Norris and Russell's radio complaining about graining of the tires. And Gasly was outperformed by his reserve driver. And we saw Yuki only 1/10 slower than Max in FP1. Into FP2, there was red flags, so we saw Piastri come out on top, but the session did end early. There was some speculation that Norris would have beat Piastri because he was on a flying lap in the final moments before the red flag, and the telemetry had Norris faster after the chicane by 0.128, and then he had to lift off before finishing. So we don't know if he was really trying to hide his true speed or pace there, but he did come in second. So second fastest time of FP2. The red flags did affect teams. So a lot of teams use FP2 for strategy testing of longer runs. And because they lost so much time, this would have affected their FP2 strategies. The four flags were, we saw Doohan's wheel hit the grass. The car let go, spun away from him, and he crashed into the barriers at quite a high speed. He should have closed his DRS in turn one. That didn't happen, but it was quite an impactful crash. Second red flag was Alonso. His car was intact but stuck on the gravel. He also dipped a wheel on the grass that sent him wide into the gravel. And then third and fourth red flags were grass fires, and basically caused by the sparks from the cars hitting the grass and then grass fires. FP3, Norris took fastest time, and they were out for less than 7 minutes, and there was another red flag. The grass was on fire. Hajar seemed to be having issues with the car. Norris's car was up in the garage being worked on. There was speculation of floor damage. he seemed to be struggling and with going wide and boarded a lap, but he did ultimately seem to figure it out and came out on top. And then with, we had in FP2, we had the Racing Bulls placing higher than the Red Bulls, but in FP3, the Red Bulls were sitting higher than the Racing Bulls. So right into qualifiers in Q1, we did see them soaking the grass. So these grass fires were an issue. So they were soaking the grass. Hajar saw a lap deleted because he exceeded track limits. And congratulations to Lawson. He did make it out of Q1. So out of Q1, Hülkenberg, Bartoletto, Ocon, Doohan, and Stroll. On to Q2. We see Piastri making a costly mistake. He went wide and then lost his rear end. We then saw another red flag because of a grass fire. We saw Sainz being slowed down by Hamilton. And then we see out in Q2 was Gasly, Sainz, Alonso, Lawson, and Tsunoda. But we did see Lawson sitting ahead of Tsunoda in qualifiers. In Q3, we have Verstappen taking pole. Norris had to back out of his first lap, Russell making a mistake in turn two. Norris was sliding on the track, but still sat purple in the first sector. We see Albon hitting the wall delicately. Piastri made a mistake going into turn two, and your top 10 at the end of Q3 sit in order from 1 through 10, Verstappen, Norris, Piastri, Leclerc, Russell, Antonelli, Hajar, Hamilton, Albon, and Behrmann. Congratulations to Behrmann. So this was a bit of a boring Grand Prix. It basically, like, the order they started was the order they pretty much finished. This year on this track, it was a one-stopper. Last year, two-stopper, but the track was resurfaced. So congratulations to Max for his win. And now we're just going to talk a bit about what we saw online after the Grand Prix and kind of address like some fan base issues. So a lot of the chatter after was the Norris Piastri issue, a lot of chatter from the online experts or, you know, the Piastri fangirl club, that there should have been a swap. And then the big joke online was why? Because it's his birthday. So it was Oscar's birthday. And there was a radio message from Oscar that Oscar thought he had the pace to beat Norris and Verstappen, but like, bless his heart. So like, again, a lot of discussion back and forth. The team principal ultimately commented, he was interviewed and commented. So we saw Andre Seller saying, it's fair for Oscar to make the comment that he thought he had the pace to beat Norris and Verstappen. And it is fair that he gives his comment an input to the wall, but McLaren did not think that this was possible. They did not think he would be able to overtake Norris, let alone Verstappen. And even if Norris went let him through, he would not have been able to overtake Verstappen. And Andre pointed out that he only got close to Norris because Norris was managing his tires, trying to give a go at Max. And he called the judgment superficial, that he said Lando was faster. He just wasn't pushing. We saw, you know, commentators weigh in on this, past racers, Jack Villeneuve, commented, if Oscar was faster, he would have been able to pass Lando. And he was not. So there was nothing stopping Oscar from overtaking or out-qualifying Norris. There was no team orders. So they were free to race each other. And basically, our thought on this is if he can't get past Norris and needed to rely on the swap, he wasn't getting past Max. They were free to race. And he was truly only able to get close to Norris twice under DRS. And the telemetry race data showed us at the end, the conclusive data was that Norris was faster Oscar only appeared faster due to the DRS and the tow. So we're going to let it die there. That's why we did not see a swap between the two drivers, because Norris was the faster of the two. But we do want to address also the McLaren pitting strategy. They pitted Oscar first, and then they called Norris in at the same time as Max. So again, this caused a lot of confusion amongst fans. But really, you have to look at it. Like, Piastri's tires were worse off than Norris's. Piastri was losing close to half a second to Norris on the last lap before he pitted. And they were focused, McLaren was focused on protecting the 2-3 and covering off Russell. So that is why Piastri was pitted first, in our opinion. And then Norris pitting at the same time as Verstappen was an interesting strategy, leading to, like, the most exciting part of the race, in our opinion, was the scrap exiting the pit lane between Norris and Verstappen. So pitting them at the same time kind of led to this, like, battle of the single lane exit. Norris tried to pass Verstappen, but there was just no space because, again, single lane. So he drove off onto the grass and ended up keeping second, but made a valid attempt. The initial claim by Norris was that he was forced off the track, but later conceded that Max was ahead. And that was the fact. Like, that it was Max was ahead. We also want to address the fact that the fine that Sainz received, Sainz had a confirmed medical issue and it delayed him. He arrived late to the national anthem, but had a confirmed medical issue and was called into the stewards, presented the information, and was still given a fine. So that's a little, Albon not happy with his shifts over the radio. And yeah, that was about it. It was just a pretty boring race this week. We saw three races in a row where there wasn't a lot of, like, we will be seeing the first like three race set that we are seeing now. Are tracks where there just isn't a lot of passing opportunities available. So the races should be picking up and becoming more exciting as we progress further along into the season. So we will be back on Monday when we review round 4 in Bahrain. So have a great week, everyone. Enjoy media day, and we'll be back with you Monday to give our overview of the Bahrain Grand Prix. Bye.